Session number 26367, Rail 1.
Commander Charles Stephen, Rail 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Commander Stephen?
Yes, I was born in a place called Dorman's Park. When? On the 11th of August, 1923. And...
Could you tell us a bit about, you know, your family background, as much as you can, or...
Yes, my father was in the army. He fought in South Africa, and then in World War I, in which he was very badly wounded in the leg. And so he missed probably the worst part of that war. But by the time I knew him, he was perfectly fit, although he always walked with a stick.
And what was his job after the war? What, you know, when you were born, what was he working at then?
He never actually had a paid occupation, but he was very busy with everything connected with local government and that sort of thing.
What type of thing was he doing? Was he a councillor or something, you mean? Or
yes. He was a rural district councillor, and... he was church warden a lot of the time, and he was altogether busy with the roads in the place where we lived, where the roads were all private roads.
That's it, Dorman's Park.
Dorman's Park.
And was the family reasonably well off? Did they have private means before, presumably?
Oh, I think so, yes. I believe that my... grandfather was very well off. I never knew him. But, we were quite comfortably off. But you might not have thought so to hear my parents talking about it sometimes.
Now, were there any other children in the family? Or?
Yes, I had... there were three children before me, all girls. My older sister was 10 years older than me. She is now dead. The second one I never knew. She died at the age of 2 in the great flu epidemic that followed World War I. And then the third one, my sister, who is still alive, who is 5 years older than me, a widow, lives in London. And then there was me. I was the fourth and last.
Was it a happy childhood?
Oh, yes. I can't say much more than that.
Now, what about your education? Where did it start?
My education started at home with a governess who my parents employed. And she taught me extremely well. And when I went to prep school at the age of 8, I found that I was streets ahead of my contemporaries.
Which prep school was it?
Ashdown House, Forest Row, which always sent a proportion of a fairly high proportion into the Navy, although it was by no definition whatever a naval school. But at Dartmouth, there were always quite a few old Ashdownians.
Was it a day school or a boarding?
No, it was a boarding school.
How did you find it? You must have been fairly young.
Well, I was 8 when I started. One just took life as it came. We knew that this is the sort of thing that happened.
You enjoyed it?
Yes, not enormously. I don't... want to go back or anything like that. But I was reasonably happy, yeah.
Now, what turned you towards the Navy? What made you want to go to Dartmouth?
I'd always wanted to be... to go to sea, ever since I can remember.
Now, why? What a...
I don't think one can answer that. Why do you want to join any profession? It's just the thing that appeals to you. I mean, I can't say because it's because of the cheap gin or anything like that.
Were you interested in naval history, or was it the actual
sailing? Oh, yes. Well, I was reasonably interested in naval history, but not at the age of eight. I mean, that was something that came at Dartmouth.
Now, so what year did you go to Dartmouth in?
1930. Oh, sorry. I was 13, so it was
1937,
actually.
Right.
1937, the coronation year.
Now, what were your first impressions on arriving at Dartmouth?
The pretty stark accommodation.
In what way?
Can
you describe the accommodation?
Well, Dartmouth was huge, and there were long, long, long corridors. And as new cadets, we had to double pass the any accommodation belonged to more senior cadets. So one's first term, one doubled everywhere in the college, practically speaking.
And what was the accommodation? What was it?
Oh, we're in dormitories. In ordinary beds. We didn't actually sling hammocks. That came later.
Now, could you tell us what a typical day would be like at Dartmouth in those days?
Yes, it's... Well, I suppose it was like any public school would be. We had a school before breakfast. We didn't call it school, we called it studies. Before breakfast. And then there was breakfast, and then there was divisions, which is a parade. And that was the same every day. And at the end of divisions, we went straight to classes for what was essentially a school routine.
So a normal standard academic sort of, you know, normal subjects.
Normal subjects, but also seamanship was in the curriculum. And...
Now tell us a bit about the seamanship. About how far did you go with seamanship? What were they teaching you?
It was mainly practical in the college boats on the Dart, which were fairly big cutters and whalers, which could be either you could either sail them or row them. Pull, as we said in the Navy, pulling for rowing. And there were also some dinghies called DOD, Dartmouth One Designs.
And you wanted this, did you enjoy the boat work?
Oh, yes. There were bad days when it was very cold and that sort of thing. Oh, yes, I think everybody enjoyed it.
Now, what about the other side of seamanship? I know it's for the other ranks, but knots and splices and that sort of thing. Would you learn that as well?
Oh, yes, we had to do that. Mm.
And what about the points of the compass? Navigation generally, and the mathematics of navigation, which can be...
That's right. Yes, we actually did navigation as a subject. An indoor academic subject.
How did you take to navigation?
I got on all right, the way of things.
No problems with the maths?
No.
And so how would the day progress? You'd have these lessons in the morning, and then what?
Well, every day there was a period, and it was depending on the time of year. It was either in the afternoon or in the evening. In the summer, it was in the evening. In the winter terms, it was in the afternoon, when we, which were for games, sport, and exercise. And you had to do something. You had to record what you'd done. It was called a log. And you just recorded that you'd played football or tennis, you know, whatever, or on the river in the boat.
Was sport very important to the college?
Yes, it got a pretty high priority, high profile.
Did you? What were your games?
I was never much good at team games. Tennis and squash were the things I was best. I probably enjoyed most, and also, of course, sailing. And I used to enjoy the river occupations.
So you'd have this session, then that would be, say, the afternoon. Then what? As the day goes through.
Oh, classes again, and of course we had homework. I'm trying to think what it was called. Had a special name for it. I can't think now. I mean, you know, I think this is probably all boarding schools have this.
You have
study in by yourself, not in the classroom, or not under a teacher.
Well, how high would you say the academic standards were?
Oh, it was a high standard, undoubtedly. And I don't think anybody who passed out of Dartmouth would have any difficulty getting into a university.
Now, what about things like the food? How did that strike you? You've been to prep school before, so...
Yes.
What did you think of the food?
Oh, I grumbled incessantly. In fact, I suppose it wasn't too bad. Of course, mind you, the war started while I was still at Dartmouth, and of course after that, it didn't make much difference actually, because they still fed us pretty well, as far as, you know, quantity was concerned.
What about quality?
Well, one grumbled, but considering the number of people they were cooking for all at once, I think it was pretty good.
And what about in the evening? What would you do in the evening?
Well, it depends. In the summer, of course, one was playing games in the evening. But in the two winter terms, one played games in the afternoon, and then the evening was given up to study.
Now, how did you get on with your fellow cadets? I mean, what sort of...
Well, I suppose, again, it was probably like any public school. One made friends, and there were other people who I couldn't abide.
Was there any bullying?
Yes.
What form did it take?
Oh, I had to put up with quite a lot of it, but it was, surreptitious kicks and punches and things.
Did they pick on you, or were they picking on the younger boys? I mean...
No, I don't think there was any picking on the younger boys. There may have been in what was called the term system before I went there, but when I joined, we had the house system. And so we were split up in houses. There would be, I suppose, perhaps five of my term, and all the others would be either older or younger. And they were all older when one started, and one actually found oneself at the top.
So the bullying was fairly low grade. It wasn't too serious, or...
Oh, no, I think it was bearable anyway. I bought it.
What about the instructors? What did you think of the instructors and their methods, or the teachers, or whatever you call them at the time?
I think they were good. You used the word instructors. For us, instructors had a particular meaning. It meant the naval personnel, that the chief petty officers what we call the instructors, and they were experts in seamanship and engineering and all the professional aspects of the Dartmouth course, and the academic side was done by masters who were schoolmasters. But also included among those was the odd instructor officer, which is a naval schoolmaster.
Now, what did you think of the two sides, the instructors? I mean, were they good at their job, the instructors and the teachers?
Yes, I should say on the whole that they were good. But, of course, everything changed a bit when the war broke out.
I will come to the war, yeah.
Then we had, you know, the young ones all went away to the war, and we got people resurrected, old men. And they were not necessarily very good at the job then.
What about the level of discipline? Could you comment?
Oh, it was very it was very strict. Everything was done. Everything, but it was under discipline. Everything had to be done right in a particular way, and that went for sport and everything.
Did you find it difficult to sort of knuckle under and or did you rebel against it, or did you just conform? How did you feel about it?
Oh, I just conformed. I think practically everybody did. It was just, you know, life was like that. And of course, if you just do what you're told, it makes life easier in many ways.
Did you fall foul? I mean, were you punished much? What systems of punishment did they have at the time?
It varied. At the sort of top of the range, it was called OC, which was official caning, and that was a very everyone avoided that. At least I managed to, because it was very severe, and it was official in that it was recorded. Whereas if one of the cadet captains thought he'd been you'd been cheeky to him or something, he was to give you a few strokes at the cane, but nobody knew about it. It wasn't in any way official.
And did you fall foul of that? Well,
yes, but there more than anybody else. Yeah.
What about what they call in the army anyway, bull? The sort of preparing your kit for kit inspections.
We didn't have to prepare our kit. That was all done by stewards. We didn't have to polish our boots or anything like that. But of course, one had to try and I don't think so, no, because we just did the same as everybody else, and we put on clean collars on Wednesdays and Saturdays or something. You know, everything was controlled, so we didn't have very much scope for being different from anybody else.
You went there in 1937. Anything happened before the war broke out? Any incidents or stories you can tell us to give an idea of what life was like, or was it pretty routine?
Oh, everything that happened was routine. What can I tell you about it? As a junior cadet, which of course I was at that time, pre-war, when you were going past senior cadets' accommodation, you always had to move to the double. I think I've told you.
I did mention that,
yeah.
Okay, so what about the outbreak of war? I mean, were you expecting it? And what did you feel? Did you hear the announcement on the radio from Chamberlain?
If I remember rightly, it was September, of course, wasn't it? And so one was at leave. I was at home. And we then went back to...
Do you remember it at home? Did you hear it? And
yes.
What did you think? How did your parents react as well? I mean, your father had been in the war.
Well, I think both my parents were desperately unhappy about it. Because my mother, at least, she'd lost two brothers, I think, in the First War. And I think they expected to be casualties to be similar to what they had been then. And obviously, I suppose I was the one they were concerned about more than anything else.
And how did you feel? I mean, you would be, well, 16.
Oh, I thought this was marvellous. So we're not going to be done out of a war after all.
So you were much more gung-ho. Gung-ho's too, but you were...
Yes, after all, that's what one had joined for, really.
So how did the outbreak of war affect life at Dartmouth? Now, you mentioned the instructors, the masters were replaced with older models.
Yes.
What other changes did you notice when you went back?
Well, there were no changes to routine and so on. But, of course, the big change was the blackout.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, that made life difficult because you couldn't show any light at all if it could be avoided.
Was that difficult on the base, or what was the problem?
In fact, I don't think we made much of a problem about it. I can't remember that there was ever any saying, you know, when you opened a door, thereby letting out light, and shut it again. I don't think anybody bothered about it in Dartmouth. That was something that happened much more at home, where in the London area, and we were going to be bombed anyway, so we didn't want to help the give away opposition, as it were.
Did you have shelters at Dartmouth?
Yes, we used to practice going into going. No, we had. We used to practice going to what was it called now? Defence quarters, something like that. But I'm trying to remember where they were.
What were they? I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember.
You're not quite sure where you went.
No, I really can't remember that. So.
Now, what other? I mean, was the area bombed?
Yes, but it was. It wasn't planned bombing. We got the odd aircraft that was shot down and jettisoned its bombs. But the college, as such, was never actually bombed. As happened, as everybody who lived in London knew about.
So what happened next? How did life go on at Dartmouth? Just the same, from the sound of it, mostly.
Oh yes, it was just the same. Except we had to practice things like bomb alerts, taking shelter, and so on.
So how did you progress through? Because you were a junior cadet. When would you become a more senior cadet?
Well, halfway through, I did 11 terms as a cadet. The first two terms were you were only mixed with those two terms, and you had your own. House, as it was called by the time I went there. I've used the word house for how we were divided up at Dartmouth. It was, in fact, all one building, but there were different wings, blocks. I just clear that up so to get the picture.
So what happened next then, as you know, anything you recall during the you know, 39, 40 move?
Oh, it's, thing about that time was we always had to carry our gas masks at all time. And we were always having gas drills.
Now, what was a gas mask drill?
Well, you had to you had to drop everything else, put your gas mask on, and then try and carry on as though you hadn't got a gas mask on.
Was that difficult?
Quite difficult, but one got to manage it.
And anything else about your time? Did the syllabus change at all in emphasis as you got further up?
Well, of course, but just as it would in any school, I suppose.
I mean, the weighting towards seamanship and navigation didn't increase. That's what I mean, huh?
No, I don't think so. That was just one of the subjects that one advanced in, like all the others.
Now, what about naval history, which you said you got interested in there? Was it naval history of the age of sail, or did it concentrate on the First
World War? Oh, yes, we studied naval history from the earliest times up to... well, not really. I don't remember. We did study World War One much, not for the curriculum. It was all rather old-fashioned. It was all, you know, the age of sail.
So there wasn't much about destroyer tactics or the sort of tactical end of history in the First World War?
No, there wasn't.
Now, in the First World War, the Dartmouth year had been sent... 2 years, had been sent to sea when
yes.
the war broke out.
Yes.
Were you aware of any question of doing... It was very controversial, because a lot were killed on the Abercare Home and Cressy. Was there any question of sending you to sea early?
No, I had expected that might happen, but we soon found out that it was not going to happen, and the Admiralty were just going to keep Dartmouth going.
So you just run to the end of your normal 11 or 12, whichever you said, terms?
11 terms, yes.
That's what you did?
Yes.
As you got towards the end, was there any examinations or tests?
Oh, yes. The great thing was the passing out exam.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, that was the most important thing in a cadet's life, because if you failed it, and some did, you had to go back for another 2 terms at Dartmouth stay put.
And what was the examination like? I mean, was it like a school exam, or was there a big practical element?
It was essentially a school exam in the usual school subjects, plus seamanship and engineering. Engineering meaning, of course, nautical engineering.
And how did you do?
I had no problem with any academic subject. But it'd be easier if I could. We used to practice on the old papers, the previous passing out exams. And by the time I came to take mine, it didn't matter, because by this time, my eyesight had deteriorated, and I was told that my future in the Navy would have to be in what was then called the paymaster branch, and now called the supply and secretariat specialization.
And how do you feel about that?
Well, all better interested, I suppose, is the short answer. But one has to accept life as it comes and do her best. There were